Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Mitts and Twigs podcast. I am your guy, Mitts. With me, as always, Twigs. We're here to bring you our opinions on what is happening in the hockey world. We know you can't wait to hear them. So without further ado, Ty, how you doing so far? How's your week been?
Great. It's been fantastic. It's, Blues lost to the Flames. So it was a great week. How about you? How was your week?
I mean, they played two games, didn't they? Okay, just checking. I had a pretty good week. Pretty good week, I suppose. Nothing too wild out of the ordinary. Girlfriend is away for the weekend, so I've been bacheloring it up, which of course means that I've been drinking beer in my underwear on the couch and playing video games for the most part. Hashtag bachelor lifestyle. I trekked all over Vancouver yesterday to get some beer, some slightly above average quality beers, and to do some errands that were long overdue. So
how's the beers?
I think I earned it today. Oh, they're fantastic.
So they're higher quality, does that just mean like higher, like more expensive or better?
I mean, not more expensive. So craft beer is, you know, nice. It's a thing that I enjoy. I'm not picky though. I'll drink a Coors Light if you hand it to me, if you have to. But that's the funny thing about craft beer in Vancouver, at least that I can't speak to the other markets, is that you pay more or less the same price, whether or not there's a lot of love in that beer. And so, like, the larger craft beer places that are just, like, pumping out crap, you're paying, like, $20 taxes in for a four-pack of Tall Boys. Or I can walk to the other side of the city. Well, I get the bus most of the way. And I can go to this really tiny, dingy, awful-looking place called Storm Brewing and get the most delicious, fantastic, amazing small-batch craft beers that are just unbeatable. Unfiltered, unpasteurized, all the good stuff. I had a pineapple pilsner earlier that had... They brew it with like fresh pressed pineapple juice. I'm working on this bad boy right here is the Precipitation Pilsner. Just delicious. And when I was in the neighborhood,
Pilsner.
You've got no artistic spirit at all.
Sorry, my bad.
But it's it was worth the adventure. I don't get there too often because it is a little bit of a trek, but it's worth it.
This is not hockey related, but we're still on beer chat, which is totally fine. I remember when I'm from a small town in Alberta. No liquor store here. There's zero liquor store. If I want liquor, I got to go 45 minutes in each, like any direction I want to. I can get some, but it's 45 minutes. I remember I moved to Calgary. It was like big city. It was awesome. Went to the little bar and we're craft beer, and at the time Grasshopper and Big Rock was considered craft beer, right? Even though, like, to this day it's not that crafty, right? Like, it's one of the big boys that you were just referring to, just pumping that stuff out, eh? And we're drinking these beers, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not a Budweiser, this is not a Coors, this is heaven, right? Like, this is really good. And then I went to culinary school and all that, and my buddy I was with, he's like, hey, can I get a slice of orange? I'm like, shut up, a slice of orange, right? Slice of orange, get out of here. Threw a slice of orange in there, and boy, did it change my whole, you know, outlook on beer. And then I started dabbling in other beers, and then now I realized that Grasshopper just ain't that cool. It's just not that good. So that's
but it's a gateway beer for a lot of us.
Yeah,
it's tasty. Gateway. It's not terrible. It's not terrible.
No, and just wait till you try it with orange.
Oh baby, now we're talking some fine cuisine here.
Woo-wee! Slicing that up, you're like, you ladies, throw a couple. No, never mind. Let's go.
Don't. I'm so glad we pulled shoot on that. There's no way that was going anywhere good.
Oh, I was like, you know what? line has been drawn. Back to hockey.
Oh, hockey.
I will say before we continue, you look like a real boss in your chair today. Just might be the most relaxed I've ever seen you.
Yeah, well, you, I'm trying a little different setup. I can rearrange the furniture however I see fit here. There's no one to ask me what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. It's glorious.
I love it.
I was looking through some old clips of ours, some old footage, and there was one we did from, I want to say it was last summer, maybe the, or late spring, and we were doing a bunch of moving some stuff around, and I had to set things up last minute in order to be able to record with you. And it was in a similar setting where I was like, okay, the entire apartment is a disaster. I need to find a little corner nook that is looks presentable. And it was basically this, but without my desk and things and this chair. And I remember I looked at that and I was like, I look really comfortable.
I look like I'm just like chatting that. With a friend. Yeah.
I'm just hanging out. usually I mean half the time I'm either standing up when we record the whole time, or I use my stool, which is, you know, basically, you know, standing up. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy my hard-earned crafty beer. And I'm going to be comfortable.
Crafty, crafty, crafty.
We are so off the rails.
No, I do want to go a little bit, a little like headline-y with you here.
Let's do it. Fire it off. Let's
really, a couple big ones here. Elliot Friedman reported the other day, yesterday, that the Vancouver Canucks, it's not if, but when, your man, your Jack Adams winner last year, Bruce, there it is, Brucey B, will be replaced by none other than the Rick Tocchet. Let me ask you this. This is like an actual question. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember Rick Tocchet. He's had a lot of success. He has had zero success. This is the guy that got fired by the Arizona Coyotes. Let me read off his resume here. 2017, 2018, he posted 29 wins, 41 losses, accompanied by 12 overtime losses. He had 39 wins, 35 losses, and 8 overtime losses the 18-19 season, 33 wins, 29 losses, 8 overtime losses in the 19-20. And then the shortened season, 2021, the year they got fired, 24 wins, 26 losses, and then 6 overtime losses. Career-wise, he, in Arizona, 125 wins, 131 losses, and 34 overtime losses. I'm just saying, if there was a coach that I want to be playing for, it's probably not Rick Tocchet. Especially when I have Bruce Boudreau, who last year proved to everybody, and to be fair, boy, is the Vancouver Canucks a dumpster fire organization right now. You buy into a system, it seems to work out. Right.
Yep.
This year has not. Again, there's different reasons to that. There's this butting of heads with Jim Rutherford and with Brucey B. But man, you're just going to slap another Band-Aid on this and just continue to go for the playoffs with Rick Tocchet. It to me, I'm sorry. Like, I'm watching Elliot say that. And I'm like, what? This makes no sense. Your captain's unsigned. You have no direction. You just benched. Scratched Olive Reckman Larson, who you just gave up Dylan Gunther. Oh yeah, the Dylan Gunther that just scored the gold medal goal for Team Canada. Dumpster. What a dumpster fire. Where's the direction? Investigation in Tanner Pearson, but no, here's what we're gonna do, everybody. Rick Tocchet looks really good on TNT. Does a great job. Great job on TNT. Sure. Fooled me, you know? He also fooled the owner. He also fooled Jimmy Rutherford. There was also another report that I heard that Jim Rutherford reported that he, like, regrets coming to Vancouver. Like he regrets taking on this challenge. Like what? Like what is happening right now in Vancouver? You're there. You got your ear to the ground. Tell us what's going on.
I'm gonna lean in for this one. For all your audio viewers, just know that I lean forward, elbows on knees. This is a real tough love moment. Got to share this with you guys. The Vancouver organization is toxic top to bottom. It does start at the top with Francesco Aquilini, who is a slumlord and a horrible human being, who has never missed an opportunity to be a terrible person in the professional and in the limelight. There will be no success and no happiness in Vancouver as long as an Aquilini runs this team, owns this team. That's just it. Like you said, they brought in Bruce B last year. Travis Green was the previous coach.
Yes, Travis Green was the previous coach.
Travis Green. I was watching football all day. I thought I was naming a quarterback. He'd lost the room. His system did not suit the players involved. They brought in all these new people to run the team, and it was a big feel-good story. Brucey B turned things around, had the team playing well, had the team, you know, steamrolling into the playoffs, narrowly missed the playoffs, went on a run. 2019 St. Louis Blues like run that fell short, right? Yet this year it hasn't been anything close to that, and the head coach and the GM don't get along, and unfortunately the GM makes it publicly known, goes out of his way to make it publicly known, which is a little bit of a I can't put any positive spin on that. It's garbage. Rutherford, that's such a garbage bullshit thing to do. Handle your things professionally. You don't need to speak to employees in the media. It's a joke, especially somebody who is, you know, wears their heart on their sleeve like Brucey B. Guys, he's not perfect. He's been fired from a lot of jobs as well. He's made the joke himself. But I mean, there's no need to treat people like that and to just not be able to run an organization well enough. Rutherford couldn't make it through an entire calendar year without facing scandal and headlines, which is hilarious considering all the goodwill they built up last season. And Aquilini has been largely disappeared and out of the limelight and off of Twitter. Since the lawsuit from many of his children for being an abusive physically and emotionally father, adult children, mind you. It's bad. Yeah, it's bad. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. They, Bo Horvat, who's loved by the city, just a handful on the ice, fantastic player. Is unsigned, but they gave a bunch of money to the walking turnover, JT Miller, because they built this aura around the value that they thought they should get for him last year. It's a mess. It's not going to get better anytime soon, and they're not going to be able to properly rebuild anytime soon. So enjoy other things in the meantime, Vancouver. Find other hobbies. Whitecaps games are starting soon. Yeah, I got that going for you. It's sad. It's depressing, especially considering with the talent they have on that team. There are moments where they can't compete, and they are out there and they're playing well. They've got world class players, but they're not a world class organization.
Yeah, like I think right now it's tough. It's tough this year because they lost Thatcher Demko, which is huge, right? Although he was having a terrible start to the year. But if you were to be like, hey, let's take this team in the direction we want, that's either let's rebuild or let's go for it. Really, there's no cap capital. Like, there's no cap that can be like taken in because they have bad money across the books. They have Oliver Ekman Larson making 7.2. They have Tyler Myers making 6 for 2 more years. They have Garland, who I think if you were going to move anybody, him and Kuzmenko would be taken up in a heartbeat. But right now, Garland's money is 4.6 times 4. You just signed JT Miller after this season. His contract hasn't even kicked in yet. He'll be the highest paid Canuck, and he'll be making 8 million times 7. And the crazy thing is you have Elias Pettersson for basically after this season, 2 more years, because he could sign a 1-year deal and walk himself into UFA, kind of like what Matthew Tkachuk had the same power with Calgary this past season. So there's a lot of moving parts here in Vancouver and things that can change relatively quickly. But again, are they going to be a contention team or a contender anytime soon? No, it's just not with this roster, not with all these holes. It just does not look that way. Their AHL team, they haven't drafted or developed really well. Hoglander is nice. But the reported price for Kuzmenko is a second-round pick. And to me, that's a steal. He's only making $760,000 for this year. And then he's an RFA for I'm pretty sure he's an RFA. But yeah, oh, he's a UFA, so anybody can sign him. Maybe that's why it's a second-round pick. But
yeah.
Even as a rental, with everybody being so high to the cap, a second round pick for Kuzmenko seems like a steal. What's he got? Yeah. Is it 18 goals right now?
Yeah, he was electric the other night against Colorado. I was there. It was fantastic. He pulled them back into the game and they went on to win. I mean, you mentioned that things can potentially change fast, but I think it's really important, and I apologize for beating this dead horse, they cannot change for the better. They can change really fast, where a lot of talent can just leave this team and you're stuck with OEL and JT Miller for 5 to 8 more years.
Well, because we've all seen this where Bo Horvat basically says he's not going to comment, he's out. He's not out. He's not going to comment on his contract negotiations. That's done. And that's right by the player. Same with Johnny Gaudreau last year, John Tavares when he was in the island. All those guys have the same, you know, they can all do that. Mm-hmm. Basically, when a player says that, it's like, yeah, I'm out. Right? We're done. JT Miller, they talked all last year. Hey, are they going to get done? Are they going to get done? Are they going to do it? And they got it done, right? There was no deadline. Hey, we're not going to do it. With Bo Horvat, it feels like he is now on his way, and they're going to get a King's ransom for it. He's playing unreal. And we talked about last episode that certain teams that we think he can go to and succeed, Colorado is one of those teams. It just makes a ton of sense. And is the prospect pool huge in Colorado? Not right now. No, they've just been loading up the past couple of years, but it is what it is. I had one more quick little topic here. Boston, this is the big news. This is the huge news of the week. And I don't know if you're aware of this. Boston finally signed their star check forward to a long-term deal, 4 years. Yep, you heard it right. Boston announces a signed check for, Pavel Zacha. Oh, that's not the check forward I thought.
You were thinking of somebody else, perhaps.
Don't they have another Czech superstar?
I freshly unretired Czech superstar. Is that the one we're talking about?
No, isn't. No. No, maybe. Maybe that is.
Are you talking about one of the most electrifying goal scorers in the game today?
I think I'm talking about. I think his name's David.
Yes.
He's got 33 goals in 42 games this year. 56 David. Points in 42 games. That David?
Yeah.
That David that they were like, we're going to let you, you know, we're going to let you play this out. We're going to let you, you know, show us what you got before we try to re-sign you. That David? David Pastrnak, you know, the one leading your team to the best record Boston's ever had? That David? Yeah. No, he hasn't been signed yet. But Pavel Zacha.
you got to figure that part of that is Pastrnak being like, no, go ahead. You guys wanted to wait to see what I could do. Let me finish. Let me just go ahead and put up a career year, and then we can go back to the table, and we can discuss this. I assume that as much as well, unless he already has a very clear number in his mind, and he said, until you're ready to meet this, don't even bother picking up the phone, which I think is similar to or sort of what Bo Horvat has essentially said.
What is that contract going to be? Like, just ballpark it. Just I know I'm throwing you like
I'm saying, what, 16 million a year for the next 16 years, or are those not allowed anymore?
cool, Chuck. Gabe, very nice, very nice.
No, I mean, it's got to be was it over 10, right?
Oh. Do you want me to tell you right now what the Athletic has reported him his market value is right now this season?
Can't be over 12.
Higher.
That's, I mean,
Market value. Again,
yeah, of
he'll
course.
never get this, right? Like he's not going to get this, but market value right now, the Athletic has him at $15.3 million per season.
I mean, that feels like bad journalism. Sorry, I love you, Athletic, but I mean, we've all been ex hoping and expecting the cap to go up by a couple of million any year now, but we're still looking at potentially a flat cap next season. I don't think we can expect any winger getting 15 million a year, and so to even position it. It just feels like maybe you crunched the numbers, not where you came out. That's what came out, but don't be afraid to put a human touch on those numbers before you just send them off to the masses. Or who knows? Maybe they're just trying to drive clicks. That is the industry that they're in. Not like us at Mitts and Twigs. We're here for not the clicks and the views. So don't watch us.
We are rolling today, hey?
That
So,
fell apart. That fell apart
yeah,
quick.
that did fall apart. Does he make more than 11?
And maybe I'm a dink for making a hard line between 15 and 11. I think probably you're looking at like I don't know, 11 and a half, 12,
Does he make more
or
than Connor
five
McDavid?
to eight.
Connor right now is at 12.5. McKinnon just passed him. His deal kicks in this next year. The next closest is Panarin, who was offered by, I believe it was Columbus. He was offered 12. Panarin is in New York. He makes 11.6. Austin Matthews makes 11.6. And the next highest winger after that is Mitch Marner at just under 11.10.9.
Yeah, I think probably 12,
I could see him
because,
get 12.
well, you never that in those negotiations, at least when they don't ever talk about like who's above. They're like, it's like they take like a Panarin and they're like, well, he's as productive or more than Panarin, and that deal was signed X number of years ago with all these other things, the words that I'm not going to try to use because I'll sound like a moron worse to say than not saying them. But those deals only get bigger. The cap goes up another million, another million. You're going to see, I think you're going to see 12 million for 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, like I'm gonna go on a hot take here, and this is gonna be hot. I think that he makes, I think there's a good chance he makes more than Connor McDavid does.
Yeah. I
I just
mean,
I he's electric. How many 40 goal seasons does he have already? Somebody, and especially if he gets to the free market, like he's out there, he can go to any team he wants. There will be a bidding war for this player. I don't think he's the same type of players as Johnny Gaudreau. Johnny Gaudreau's market was so small because he only wanted to go to the East Coast, right? So that was 9-7. So like he basically put himself in a corner, was like, guys, I'm worth this, but okay, I'll settle for 9-7 so I can move closer to home. I believe there's somebody out there that would offer him the same amount of money that Connor McDavid makes. Because I believe it. Bottom of my heart, Connor McDavid's underpaid. Like that's just where I'm at. And Nathan MacKinnon just surpassed him, and Austin Matthews is what, 1 year away from surpassing both of them for some weird reason, there's a real chance that David Pastrnak can make more or the same amount as Connor McDavid. Also, I'm just kind of rambling here today. There's no real script for us today. It's real, we're just going off each other. Sometimes this works. Sometimes it's a shit show. There's something wrong in the NHL in the sense that I hear, okay, $12 million is a shit ton of money. That's a lot of money per season. Jerome McGinley 10 years ago was one of the top power forwards. And I know I keep referencing Calgary. Sorry, guys, look at my room. There's a ton of Calgary references. Basically all I look at a lot of the time. He's making $9 million. There hasn't been a huge growth. Like, players aren't making that. Like, the highest player right now is 12.6. So you're telling me from 10 years ago, the highest player in the NHL is only making $3 million more than Jerome McGinley did and went 10 years ago? That doesn't feel like a ton of growth in player salaries. Does that make sense? Or am I just
No, I think you...
Especially when you're seeing these baseball deals. Like, these baseball deals are $300 million. 500, like, it's insane.
Well, I think it speaks to how weak the players union is, because maybe I'm going to speak out of my ass here. More than other sports, players in hockey seem to have it bred into them that they are things, you know, that they don't have value. It's weird. And I think it's only you when you look back and see that the way that things are handled on a large scale, the way that they negotiate or fail to do so at their bargaining times, it's disheartening for the, you know, as a fan, and, you know, to see people accept that kind of treatment. NHL took a huge hit to, you know, their revenue, like everyone did when COVID hit. But I don't remember the other sports leagues crunching salaries the same way, because none of the other, you know, players groups worked out some deal where they pay the owners escrow, like they pay them, like, we owe you money because you didn't make enough money off of us last year. Like, that's insane.
Yeah,
it's absolutely categorically insane that that is negotiated the way it is. And so when you see stuff like this, that they had a big clawback of that. And, you know, most, I'd say top six or top pairing or starting goaltender, the cream of the crop in the NHL players are all living very comfortable lifestyles, even with the escrow and the taxes and all the things, and the Chris Pronger playing the violin so that we all feel bad.
Yeah.
They're making, and then even the guys that aren't making great money like that, a lot of them are still, there's a lot of opportunity for them to make income still that is well above and beyond, while they're playing anyways, what a lot of average people can. So there's no sad moment there, but in terms of knowing their value and standing up for their value and being recognized for their value, it definitely doesn't feel like they have an even keel balance to it. And it ends up kind of manifesting, like you said, that a guy who was, pardon me, all you Calgary and Aguila fans out there, top 25 for maybe in the NHL for a very brief period of time.
Top 10. That's respect on his name.
Top 10 for the 1 year that he led the league in scoring. Like, yeah, okay, you made it on the cover of NHL. But, you know, like, he wasn't a generational talent the way a Connor McDavid, a Sidney Crosby, a Wayne Gretzky. He didn't have the winning pedigree of a Mark Messier, of a Steve Yzerman. He should, his salary, what he made at his peak, should not be nearly so close to what the top players today, with all the different revenue streams, and
inflation,
know, just inflation in general. And, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And hopefully the NHLPA at some point in the not too distant future, can better equip themselves and better instruct their members and take a stand and get something in their favor without too much lost hockey.
Yeah. And I, the reason I bring this up, I know like I tied in with Dave Pastrnak, and that's a real thing. Like, it's a big question. Does this make sense why Boston hasn't signed him yet? And you're probably right. Pastrnak's in there like, screw you guys. I'm going to bank, like, just back up the trucks. I'm going to make as much as I can. The reason I bring that up is you brought up the escrow thing. The big thing with that was, hey, let's get back to playing, and then we'll do, you guys can go to the Olympics, and we'll do a World Cup, and we'll do all this. So basically, the players have been paid back all this money, and they've got nothing that they wanted, right? So, and you were just saying to the strength of the PA, yeah, that's a huge part of it. Is there, it makes no sense why we have not had a best on best tournament at the not World Junior level, right? The 18 and older or 21 years and older. It doesn't make any sense. And the other reason I brought this up, pardon me, the other reason I brought this up was last night I was driving home. It was after the Chargers game, and they were talking about the success of these NFL quarterbacks and coming out of college and making your mark, and these players that are, it's not far-fetched for an NFL quarterback to, you know, after endorsements and their salary and everything, be over $1 billion. And my question is, when are we going to see, in this day of age, a billion-dollar NHL player? I feel like in the States, the top, what was it? I can't remember. It was like the top 50 most watched things in the United States. Hockey wasn't on a single, wasn't even one of the top 50, right? That's a problem. If the MLS is passing NHL, that's a problem, right? We wanting to put these teams in different cities and all that kind of stuff. We're not growing the game like we're saying we're growing the game if soccer's passing us that fast. MLS is relatively new. They are relatively new, right? And they are storming us. So I was thinking, I was like, when is the next time Connor McDavid is the most generational player I've ever seen? Right now, he's 17 points away from 100 points, and we haven't even hit 50 games. He's the Patrick Mahomes of the NHL. There's just things that he can do that nobody else can do. And unlike Patrick Mahomes and unlike certain quarterbacks like Joe Burrow and Josh Allen will follow, he will not be making that same amount of money. And this is not to say that, oh, hey, man, pay this guy the same as Patrick Mahomes. No, I'm just saying that that's how far the NHL is behind these other sports. As us fans, we're like, holy cow, this sport's amazing. Why doesn't everybody understand it? And maybe what I'm saying, and I'm getting to the root of this, is we've had a ton of years of Gary Bettman as commissioner, a ton of years. And have we seen the growth that we really think we have seen? We have had successful expansion teams. That is awesome. They are selling out every night. They're successful really fast. But is that growing the game the way that we thought it would grow? If we aren't getting eyeballs on TV, then that probably does not help with the next network contracts, right? We're not having best on best, like the NBA goes to the Olympics, right? We're not having that.
Yeah.
We don't have a World Cup kind of thing that brings in all those eyeballs. We just have the NHL. We have the World Juniors, and that's the next best thing. So what I'm saying is that maybe it's a time to look at the NHL's, you know, whole platform. And I know right now the platform's hockey is for everybody. But there has to be a real strategic movement by the commish, by the co-commish, by all those people that are in charge, by the owners. Hey, how can we maybe not get passed by the MLS? Hey, I know that we don't love paying our players what they should be, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just got a one-year deal, $14 million. And our highest paid player only makes 12.6. You know what I mean? Like, we are miles behind. We are miles behind these other franchises, or not franchises, sports organizations, all that. And there has to be a change. Like, we have to grow this game in the United States. Don't know how. I'm clearly not smart enough to come up with a plan, but that's kind of where this whole David Pastrnak came from, where I was thinking, it was like, when are we going to have a $1 billion player in this sport? Never. Like, it's got to be endorsements. It's not going to come from the NHL.
Well, you raise a good point, and I think it is kind of baffling in a lot of ways, because I think that the best to my I don't think the NHL compares well to basketball, because I think that basketball is very unique in how small the teams are and how few players actually play. And so it just doesn't correlate the same way. And the NFL has its one of the things, they're slowly getting a little bit away from this anyways, but they did really well at establishing like appointment viewing. You know, during the NFL season, Sundays are for football, you know.
Right.
They made that kind of part of what it is. And of course they've also just grown really well. And but when you think about it, I mean, well, I was gonna say like hockey, I think most compares to baseball in that people get drafted. They very rarely make any kind of an impact or even make it into the majors in the first year. You can spend your entire career in the minors. There's many layers to it. But that's part of where it starts to get a little bit weirder, because then you think about the fact that, well, baseball, these players are still getting like $25 million a year contracts when they get to the top. Baseball has way more teams, professional teams. When you start going below the you know, the major leagues, you talk about AAA, AA, all that stuff. There's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of money going around, and it really is just the United States. Of course, you know, we've got Toronto, but it's relatively a small piece of the global landscape, you know, outside of pulling some little bits here and there from different countries in the Americas. Baseball has no footprint in the rest of the world, but yet hockey has a relatively large global footprint when you compare it to some of these other North American sports. You know, you think about like Sweden, Russia, Finland, all these countries have very strong programs and have their own professional leagues that support the overall game. It's baffling that a game that is worldwide and global, and it, maybe I'm crazy, but in terms of their global spread and how likely you are to find somebody in any given country playing it, I'd say it's probably closer to soccer than it is to football and basketball or baseball. Or at the very least, I think there's more countries counted from those sports, you know. But it's strange. I wonder if there's, I also have to can't help but wonder if there's a chicken and the egg kind of thing, because when you look at a sport like football, and you know, there's a lot of money going around. Now, the average salary, of course, when you average it all out, can it's not always the 25 to 40 million contracts. Those are the top players. But think about how many times you hear a story about a guy starting in the NFL, and they highlight them for a moment to say, hey, this guy only started playing 3 years ago. This guy played basketball in college. And then one day they said, hey, why don't you try out for football? 2 years later, here he is playing in the NFL for $10 million a year with a signing bonus of $25 million cash in hand that he just takes and walks away. You know, that's obviously speaks to the level of athleticism, but also the ability to, I think, kind of develop the skills necessary. And I don't know. I think that there's something I can't put my finger on in hockey. And I think I feel like part of it is cultural, like the culture of hockey, and not necessarily all of the darkest spots of it, but there's something cultural in hockey that it really feels like it insulates itself and it doesn't allow itself to grow. It just doesn't make sense otherwise. There's tons of countries involved in it. It's been around forever. It's exciting. Everybody enjoys watching hockey once they get a taste of it. It's violence on ice with skills that are just so much more difficult to achieve than just simply running fast and catching a ball. It really should have those eyes. I really feel like it's a hockey culture thing that I can't put my finger on that has ensnared it and stopped it from growing. And Gary Bittman being a big bag of shit is one of those things too.
Yeah, the growth of hockey is a weird thing because the one game they go to play in China clearly isn't helping, right? Even though they've pushed that a ton. I think the global series, maybe in the sense that the Sweden, the Finland, all those kind of things are maybe helping. Like, it's nice for those players to finally go home, like Johnny baby going home, going home and playing and all those kind of stuff, those kind of things. What I would love to see, and this might be a little hot take-ish, I follow Alan Walsh on Twitter. He raised a lot of good points. I would love to have him on this podcast. I don't know how that would ever happen. He's a big-time agent, but maybe one day our dreams will be fulfilled. Abolish the cap. In the sense that maybe not abolish the cap, like don't get rid of it completely. But there's ways to have other small markets be successful with their players, like Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo, luxury tax, all that kind of stuff. Because I feel like we're not growing the game that way, right? In the sense that, again, this sounds awful. Jonathan Huberdeau, always referencing Calgary players. I'm sorry. Jonathan Huberdeau is about to make 10-5. In an athlete, especially in a professional sports, that's not a lot of money, right? If you bring in all the teams, everything like that, that's not a ton of money, which sounds crazy because it's a shit ton of money, right? Like $10 million is a shit ton of money. But on the spectrum of these other teams, and don't get me wrong, ticket prices are going up, jersey prices are going up, the owners are making more money, they're getting the escrow, they're getting all that stuff. But player salaries, believe it or not, I know you don't, might just be me, aren't going up the way that we think they're going up, or it's going up really, really slowly. And I have a feeling that it's the cap, right? I feel like it's harder to start up a quicker rebuild. I feel like it's, you know, it would be better for the game. This is also going to sound crazy. It's a very unhockey like when there's more player movement, like the NFL, like the NBA, like baseball. When there's more player movement, it brings in more eyeballs, more interactions online, all that kind of stuff. And that happens without the cap, right? Because bigger teams can get better, right? They can go out and spend more money. Holy cow, how much money did that player just make? That's my hot take. Bring in a soft cap with a luxury tax and let it ride. That's where I'm
interesting.
At.
I do really enjoy, I do appreciate the NBA's luxury tax. But not the luxury tax system as much as the they give the team. If you draft the player, if you keep a player, you can sign him for more and for longer.
Yeah,
an exemption. That's the word. So it's that hometown exemption. So it gives you, a leg up on the competition. But you can also use that to your advantage to help you rebuild in different
sign
ways.
Sign and trades, so, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. No, I think that's interesting stuff. It would be neat to see. Making an interesting point.
Interesting point.
I wanted to shout out a couple of things quick.
Yep.
Wanted to see you talk about people that we'd love to have on the pod. And my mind went to immediately two people that one, Kelly Rudy, who spoke out this week about how he's, you know, been having a difficult time mentally, and that he couldn't. He wanted to be great. He wanted to express gratitude to the people and the environment that he's in, that he's allowed to, or not allowed to, but he feels comfortable sharing that and supported enough in that. So, you know, shout out to Kelly. Happy to hear you, or glad to see you kind of bring that stuff to light. But also, you know, whatever you're battling, whatever you're going through, hope you're feeling better as soon as possible. In that same vein, and really ties into the Alan Walsh, is again our man Robin Leonard, who his the news for him this week. Obviously, there's nothing hockey wise going on with him still, but I try not to laugh because this is not really funny. He bought a snake farm that is now I think the bankruptcy, he declared bankruptcy, I think very specifically around the snake farm, not a personal bankruptcy per se. Apparently there was some kind of financial issues around that, an exotic snake farm that he's purchased. And that, yeah. So again, it sounds weird and such. It sounds like a made up kind of tabloid headline, which is why we chuckle.
No,
but we don't.
When I read that, I was like, "What is what?" And it's also allegedly the same the bank that sued Evander Kane is the
Oh
same
yes.
bank that Robin Leonard's filed bankruptcy through. I believe I
It's
have that correct.
They're giving the loans. The people of the bank, the organization, whatever it is, they gave the same they gave the loans to Evander Kane, who was just gambling them and parting the money away. So clearly not a great, you know, little
Yeah,
sounds a little
not a
predatory.
yeah.
Is involved in this as well. So it definitely looks like there's some kind of unfortunate
Foul play.
predatory behavior going on there. Yeah. Maybe they need to kind of put an all points bulleted out there. Like, don't go talking to these loan sharks. They're no good, but
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. So, you know, whatever as weird and Hollywood, a headline as that is with the Snake Farm bankruptcy and exotics and nothing but the best wishes, from us to Robin. You know, doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if it was a passion project or what was going into that. You know, I'm sure he's not out there trying to do anything untoward or under any but above board. And just seems to like snakes and probably thought he'd make a little cash off it. So,
Yeah, strange dude. He's a great dude. I love his engagement with the fans. I love that he calls it when he sees it. He's battled his own mental issues that he's, you know, that he's had to deal with. He's very open about it. This is probably not an easy time with him. He's also battling a very tight, tough injury, all that kind of stuff, right? So
yeah.
I wish him the luck. Wish him good luck. Kelly Rudy, I just want to say I get the pleasure to listen to him for, I think it's around 60 games a year, broadcast every Flames game. I have had personal message with him asking him to come on the show. He said yes. It was just during a busy time. It was during the playoffs when I asked him, and I just haven't circled back, even though I don't know why I haven't. He is, and what he responded is he tries to say yes to everybody. And what I'll say is he's just a great human being. He's got one of the kindest hearts. It's the best when you listen to him broadcast and he starts talking about his mom, and he's just a genuinely good person. And we don't have enough of those good people in this world. And what he's going through, I'm everybody's with you. The outreach that he's got online is huge. And all I will say is I think as a group of people, as a collective, I think we need to do better than just like sending prayers and love and all that kind of stuff. We should like actually be helping. I won't go into details. I've had people reach out to me recently, very serious things. And it's more than just being like, hey, go do this. Hey, I'll send you my prayers and all that. It's listening, maybe taking a phone call, maybe going to seeing them, maybe just hearing them out. And as a collective, I love the outreach that we did on online, but maybe he just needs a little bit more, right? And don't be scared to ask for a little more, because as a people, we should be doing that. And that's all. I'm trying not to get into any details or anything like that. But yeah, Kelly, everybody's with you. And I hope you're getting the love and support you need right now, because you make everybody's night when we tune into the TV and listen to you and Rick for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yep. Nope. None of us should ever feel any shame or fear for asking for help or for communicating simply that, you know, we're not okay. So if you're feeling that way, gang, please reach out to somebody you love that loves you, find a friend, or, you know, communicate it. Don't bottle it up. Don't just hold it. With that, we wrap it up another edition of the Mids and Twigs podcast. Thank you all so much for listening once again. Don't forget to do all those things. Like, subscribe, share. Anybody, oh my goodness, highlight of this week, please, please comment on our YouTube. video. We had just, I think, a turning point in the podcast this past week with that comment. I'm not going to say anymore. I want to leave that as an Easter egg. You guys go find it. On the last episode, just a gold medal, top shelf, unbeatable quality YouTube comment. Made my week. I bragged about it at work. I'm not going to lie. It was fun. Yeah. I love it. Love the engagement.
I do love it too. Thank you, everybody. This was a really rambly episode. It wasn't our best scripted, but hey, we're here for you. Be here every Sunday.
Yeah. With or that, Monday. Gang, Monday or Tuesday, whenever we get around to putting this out. I am your man, Mitz. He, as always, is your man, Twigs. Thank you very much. We love you. Be kind.